At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
Got some baseball a little bit later on. Our big predictions on all the MLB free agents. Connor Hughes will join us at 4 o'clock. So a lot to get to. And, of course, we'll talk to you throughout the day. 888-808-1019. I mentioned before that, as of right now, the Giants put out that release 2 days ago that Joe Shane is going to help lead the search for the next head coach. And I even said to you yesterday, just open speculation, card is subject to change. If they go 0-7, I could see ownership flip-flopping on Shane and possibly removing him. Here's a new one. I'd not heard this one, and this is from Adam Schefter, who we have to admit is pretty damn locked in. Here's Adam Schefter on the potential future of Joe Shane.
Here's the deal. That'll be up to the head coaches that they hire, whether they want to keep him or not.
How about that? So what he is saying, and he quickly moved on, is they'll hire a head coach. Obviously, ownership will make that final call, as you pointed out to me the other day. Joe could be a part of like, hey, you should interview this guy, you should interview that guy. But ultimately, Tish and Mara make the call. And then that guy, who's now been empowered as Giant head coach, can say, yeah, I'm done with you. First of all, again, it's Adam Schefter, so I believe everything he says is within reason. What do you think of it going down like that potentially?
I mean, it's becoming more the norm because if you don't have a great working relationship between the head coach and the general manager, things can get dicey. It kind of feels unsaid that that was what was going on this season with the Giants. And I'm not saying that Dabes and Shane had a bad relationship. I actually think they had a pretty good one. But it felt like they weren't fully connected. And it became looking out for number one as opposed to looking out for all the whole entity, which is the organization, which has to come first. And so the team, I should say. And I think it's fair, especially if you're going to go hire one of these veteran head coaches.
That's where I think it makes the most sense.
Who's been there before and knows what they're doing. And there's many names that we've talked about. The ones that Sean mentioned yesterday in his Cinco de Five-O, you can find it on our Odyssey podcast, are important to look at. But I don't think Mike McCarthy is going to want someone who he doesn't vibe with. I don't think Matt Nagy, who is now one of leading my list.
Oh.
Yesterday it was McCarthy, but after I went back and looked at Matt Nagy, he is unnecessarily in head coach purgatory because just to review his record really quickly, he went 11-6 in his first season, won coach of the year with Mitch Trubisky. Now at the time, Mitch was a rookie. We didn't know, right? But we now know who Mitch Trubisky is. Okay, but not anywhere close to being a great quarterback.
He's a backup.
He went 8-8 the following year.
Right.
8-8 the year after that, so far a winning record over three seasons, and then 6-11 when they drafted Justin Fields, who was not ready to be an NFL quarterback, and they fired him, and they hired Matt Eberflus. And so as I look at where what he's done subsequently, which is go back to Kansas City, he's managed that offense extraordinarily well. I know Andy Reid calls the offense, calls the plays, but think about how Patrick Mahomes has continued to grow and thrive. Think about the lack of options that they had skill position wise, yet still kept getting to AFC championship games and even winning Super Bowls. And Matt Nagy has never gotten credit for it. So I'm not saying he's the guy, but he shouldn't be on the purgatory list anymore.
And would he be one of those guys? Because when I hear Schefter say Shane's around, you know, helps with the search, doesn't make the final call.
Yeah.
And then the new head coach gets to decide his fate. Is Matt Nagy one of those veterans who could say, I don't want you, Joe. Well, let's just stick around.
Probably.
Because I think of that with McCarthy, but interesting with Nagy.
I don't know. Again, this is all about the relationship.
Yeah.
It's all about how they vibe together.
Now, Sean, you are anti-Shane. You want him fired. I understand. If Adam Schefter is correct that this is the way this goes, okay, where he's not deciding who the coach is. Like, keep that in mind. Joe Shane's a part of the interviews, I guess. But ultimately, it comes down to ownership to decide who they want to hand the keys to. That person then decides Joe Shane's fate. Is that, you like that or no?
I think it's nuanced. I don't. My easy answer is I don't. I totally get it from a veteran coach coming in should have the power to do that. But I also don't want to hamstring myself to just a veteran coach. If you're hiring somebody that wows you in an interview, that it was a good OC or DC somewhere else, and he comes in, and then the follow-up question is, do you want to work with Joe Shane, the general manager? The new head coach who's coming in, if he's already inexperienced, has enough I want him worried about and focused on than making a split decision on whether he wants Joe Shane to be his GM based on three meetings he's had with Joe Shane.
No, but you know what the good thing about this is? And on all honesty, where I think it could work, is I think one of the fears that Giant fans have is this is a, quote, half measure and that the timelines are all messed up. If you're bringing in a coach that ownership is going to believe in, and obviously you got to hope ownership gets it right because lately ownership for both the Jets and Giants have failed at picking the coaches. So let's just take a leap of faith. They're right. After a year or two, that coach can stick around with the GM being fired.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they're going to be attached at the hip, which I think is some of the fears that Giant fans have.
But that also worries me because I think you nailed on one of my fears, which would be, okay, Joe Shane is already on 4 years in. So maybe there'll be a slight reset. I'm sure Joe Shane, if he hires the new head coach and they agree, is not going to last one more year. You're talking about at least two more years, right? I worry then that when you go to hire what you hope at that point, if now we're 6 years into the Joe Shane era, a really competent GM where you finally really need to clean everything out, he's going to examine a coach that may have been hamstrung by the GM but might have been a good coach, and we're just doing this whole overlap thing where the timing is so off. And this is why I would rather just do the full throttle, clear the GM out right now with the coach.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
I know it's not,
so,
but it's frustrating.
I know that, but you can't pine for it.
Okay.
It's just not happening. So the reality becomes whoever gets this head coaching job, whether it's a young coach who is empowered to make this decision or a veteran who has experience and knows what he wants, you're going to have to evaluate Joe Shane for his record of free agency movements, but also for his drafts. And if you look at the last couple of drafts, they've been pretty damn good for Joe Shane. And you look at the free agency, it's been pretty damn good for Joe Shane. And so my gut is that whoever gets this job is going to look at Joe Shane's record and say, you know what? Those first couple, they were shaky, but he was a first-time general manager. Look at what he's done subsequent.
I know they are not the beacon of teams you want to look at, but may I bring up the Jets for a second? Aaron Glenn essentially hired Darren Mooji.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really the perception we all have, and it is very early in this new era of Jet football, and the jury is out on both. But most people, if you're an IFO, would say, Mooji's done a pretty good job.
Right.
And he was, in essence, installed by a rookie head coach.
I know it.
So even if they go the rookie head coach route, which my gut tells me they're not going to do, you still may be better off empowering that person to decide on the future of Joe Shane.
Possibly, but, I mean, that's to be determined. It's so far down the line, it's hard to even put your head around it right now.
Yeah, but it was the first I heard when Adam Schefter reported it or mentioned it on his podcast last night concerning, the coach may actually decide on the future of Joe Shane. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. You are listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM-HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Let's go to G in Connecticut. Good afternoon, G.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're good.
Quick. I want to make two quick points, one on the Kafka and the other one on Joe Shane. The thing on Kafka is, and I don't know if you guys have already said this, but what if there's a scenario where it's even worse?
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Than what it's been. And this team isn't getting first downs. They're not moving the ball. Like, then what do you do? And then the thing about Joe Shane is, I know I'm a 50-50 on the firing and keeping, because I know he's gotten a lot of talent, and I still believe in a lot of his talent that he's drafted because of the way the coaching has been. I would rather see these players not do well under good coaching systems versus what they're in. But I feel like Shane is almost, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. And in the sense of, like, yeah, we fixed the defensive line, but it was at the cost of the secondary. When this team got rid of McKinney, like, the whole secondary just collapsed. Nothing was working right. And I think the downfall of this whole Dable thing was, you know, when the whole thing went down with Wink and him getting out. Just those two questions.
Well, gee, I think in some ways you're right. Mainly because of the turmoil it created, because the Wink firing was, I mean, it wasn't just Wink. It was disloyalty among some of the other members of the staff, right? And it caused a major shakeup. And so when everybody's not pulling in the same direction, and all of a sudden you have a tug of war going on inside the organization, you're not going to be successful. There's no chance to be successful. And it's he said versus, you know, what we perceive, what ownership knows, and it just becomes a cluster. And I can't say Dave created that. He just reacted to it, But Joe Shane and Dave's got a you know what sandwich, and they had to deal with it, and it didn't digest well.
He asked at the beginning of his call, what happens if it gets worse? What happens if it gets worse is Mike Kafka's not here next year. Mm-hmm. And as I've said, without reporting, just using my brain, I think ownership will change their mind on Joe Shane. I really think that's a possibility. I think they have every right to. Card subject to change, well, is the old joke.
Well, here's the thing. We'll see if Mike Kafka can get more out of both sides of this ball. Because now he's not just tasked with being the offensive play caller, the development of Jackson Dart. He's tasked with managing this team. It is so different when you go from talking to a room to talking to the full room.
Right.
And that's what he's doing now.
And you know what, in my opinion, you came up with this great concept. You could rewind on the Odyssey app on how Kafka can keep his job. Like, each win is worth a certain amount of points. You know who's sort of connected to it? Joe Shane. Mm-hmm. Because the more the Giants win, the more he'll be vindicated in terms of, yeah, they always had enough talent.
Right.
Wasn't a talent issue. It's like the Lou Gehrig debate series from last week. Put a better coach in there, they'll win. Well, if that happens, Tommy Lugauer could take a bow, and Joe Shane can certainly take a bow because he may get a contract extension.
Yeah, and by the way, this isn't about level of success of the previous coach, and I'll give you the perfect example. Maybe we talk about this later because I know Lugie would love to. Look at the difference with the Knicks. You had a coach of the year coach in Tom Thibodeau who got them to the postseason consistently, got them deeper and deeper every year, it felt like, and then they fired him. This year, it feels like the Knicks are one of the best teams in basketball, right? They scored 130-plus points in how many? Three consecutive games? They're dominating, and it's the same players for the most part, save Jordan Clarkson, but you feel it. Right, in watching that game last night against Memphis, like, Jordan Clarkson is the example because you know he's a chucker. His first shot was the most god awful shot I've ever seen. It missed the rim by I think a foot, and he immediately Mike Brown calls a timeout. Tibbs would have just said, "You're out. Sit out. sit on the end of the bench and don't even look at me again." He calmed him down, and then Jordan Clarkson turned into a big asset for their humongous win over the Grizzlies. So. Coaching and dictation of your responsibility is so important, and you see that in coaching. That's coaching.
Yeah, no doubt. You see the difference. I mean, the eye test tells you the Knicks are different.
Yes.
Now, I would like to make a comment without anyone responding. So, Tommy, please do not respond. Mm-hmm. Tiki, please do not respond.
Yes, I know one of those wins was against the Nets.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm not going to. I will not.
Sorry, I thought you were going to defend your.
No,
Nets.
I'm not
your Biggie Smalls Nets.
Nets still in the league.
I'm going to just tell you a fact, and then we're going to move on to more calls about the Giants. Just a simple fact that one can't argue because facts are facts. Mm-hmm. But I really don't need you guys screaming at me.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to say it, and we can move on.
Go ahead.
The Brooklyn Nets have more road wins than the New York Knicks. Anyhow, let's go to Cecil in Franklin Square. What's up, Cecil?
Tommy hates you.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Cecil?
Hey, guys, just wanted to say one observation, and then if you don't mind, Tiki, could we role play a little bit with this Giants situation?
Let's.
First thing, I saw an article or something on social saying Brian Daboll was really worried about what the perception was outside the building, and that dictated how he was handling his leadership, the team overall. That's just an observation. I don't know if you saw that anywhere, but second thing is role play. I called yesterday, TK, and I threw out the team president idea, and I wanted to ask you. I don't know if you really seriously responded to that or not,
the Giants don't have one, first of all, so it's not a role that exists.
But let me say, they need one because I think you could, or someone like you, with your resume, obviously playing, obviously with the connection to the Giants, then your experience over the years in media and getting exposure to all of these teams. During your CBS time and all that stuff.
Right.
But now, you can bring a perspective from the player. You can bring a perspective from, hey, I've talked to management from across the league. You can bring experience and perspective from the fan base. Not that you're going to listen to the fans and how you decide, but you can know how to approach a situation or handle a situation that is going to be public. And I think your expertise, your professionalism, but also your gravitas, I'm just sharing.
I would love that kind of role because, look, I love the Giants. You know, my affinity for this team. You know that I am my loyalty is with the, they're like family to me. Mm-hmm. And I have close relationships with everyone there, both sides, Tish's, the Mara's, and the extended families who I spent a lot of my life with, for my first professional life with. But it's not a role that's there right now. And it's not one that I've even contemplated. But, you know, his point about, I think Tony Boselli took this kind of role with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony Boselli was the longtime radio analyst for the Jacksonville Jaguars, saw all of the good and the bad, including the Urban Meyer years and in the Doug Marrone years. And when they reset their organization this past offseason and hired Liam Cohen, they got rid of the GM. And I forgot who's
Trent Baalke used to be.
Baalke was the GM. They got rid of him and they brought in a new GM. They hired Tony Boselli as a president role. I think
is the executive vice president of football operations.
And Tony has helped them, right? It's a role that I think former athletes in other sports get offered frequently. In fact, they dot the executive ladder in the other sports, particularly baseball. A lot of managers, etc. The NFL hasn't embraced that fully.
Right.
John Lynch is one, but that happened because he had a great relationship with the head coach and Mike Shanahan or Kyle Shanahan, and it led to what has been a very successful marriage, GM head coach, because of the familiarity that John Lynch has with players, that they have with him, and his respect from doing it. It hasn't been offered.
But you know what trend has been going on?
What's that?
Former players becoming head coaches.
Yes.
And I cue you back to another quick line from Adam Schefter, who is as locked in as anyone else, and this has everything to do with Tiki Barber.
Stop.
And he has no idea. Adam Schefter, you know what? I'm just going to play you the clip, and then we can interpret ourselves in terms of who he thinks the next head coach of the New York Giants will be. Take a listen.
When they hire somebody, my guess and sense is it's somebody that we probably haven't even brought up in the end.
Well, I haven't heard anyone bring up Tiki Barber.
Stop.
So that line led me think of three people.
I am not going to be the next head coach of the New York Giants.
Are you saying
it's Tiki Barber?
Are you saying that definitively?
First of all, I'm not qualified to be the head coach of the
Neither
New York
was
Giants.
Jeff Saturday.
Yes, but Jeff Saturday lasted for how long?
That's true.
A week?
That's true.
Maybe?
When I heard that clip of Schefter, I thought of three people in Giants history.
Go ahead.
I thought of Carl Banks being the next head coach of the New York Giants, though I think Dexter may have an issue with that. I thought of Eli Manning, and I thought of Tiki Barber. Those are the three people. I'm like, that would be one we haven't seen coming. And all three, in a way, are connected. I wouldn't bring up Strahan. He's so disconnected, he don't even count.
Right.
But you do pre and post. You're here on The Fan talking about him all the time. Eli's got, you know, his head so close to the Giants organization, he's basically there.
He's got an office there.
He's got an office. He does a TV show or a YouTube show. He's there, and he's a comedy act. And then you got Carl Banks, who, yeah.
It's unlikely.
Which one?
Just all of them. I'm just telling you it's unlikely.
Sean, of the three candidates I laid out, who would you be most excited about coaching the Giants? And remember, there are some ill effects. Like, if Tiki takes the job, he's done here. Like, he can't work with us.
That's why I'd be the most excited. I slide right into Tiki's chair, and we get a good, competent head coach. That's an easy answer, Evan.
Yeah, so when Schefter says that, though, in all seriousness, who are you thinking of? When he says someone we're not even thinking of.
I'll give you one.
Go ahead.
Because I've only heard us think of it. Davis Webb.
Mm. Yeah, former player.
Nobody's mentioning.
Yeah.
He was very respected when he was here.
And is a young, hot up-and-comer.
Right. He was, in a sense, he was essentially like a coach player when he was here.
What's going to be really challenging is that because the Giants are going to have a coaching vacancy literally for 2 months, probably longer, every single name is going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, President Trump's name is going to come up. Mike Francesa's name is going to come
not
up.
Not renaming Giant, or I was going to say Giant, MetLife Stadium for our commander-in-chief.
No, I meant he could be the head coach. Like, I think every name is going to come up in terms of being connected to this coaching job.
I love the Giants.
That Schefter's line of it's going to be someone we haven't talked about is almost impossible. Because by January, we will have talked about everybody.
Yeah, right. I just think it means we probably have like the same six names on the tip of everybody's tongue, and he probably means it won't be any of those.
Right.
But that being said, just real quickly,
there's
minor breaking Giant news.
So it's not glass-worthy.
Not glass-worthy, only because I've debated the 6 minutes, and I've played the Evan Roberts, do we have audio game yet? And we don't.
Okay.
We don't. And I'm getting the vibe there's not going to be audio. This from Connor Hughes. Russell Wilson just spoke with people, okay? He has not asked for his release. However, he did make a couple unsolicited remarks about getting the Giants to the, quote, one-inch mark and not going for it, which happened last week. So, feels like he's a little angry.
Pissed off at that play call decision?
Pissed off that basically they didn't go for it and now he's benched.
Well, here's the good news, audio or not. Connor will join us at 4 o'clock. So Connor Hughes, who's been covering the Giants incredibly well, also covers the Jets. We'll mix in both teams. He'll join us at 4 o'clock. We'll get more details on that. By the way, I agree with Russell Wilson. Like, I would have gone for it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was okay kicking the field goal.
Were you?
Yeah, because the defense, for the first time in a few weeks, had been playing really well.
Yeah.
And so my gut was just take those points, get a stop, and then end the game.
My only issue with Russell Wilson saying anything about it is he was so bad out there that for Russ to say, you know, I caught him to the inch yard line. We should have gone for it. Dude, you looked retired playing football on Sunday.
And a penalty got him to the 1-inch line.
They were on the one, though.
Singletary made a great play. Like, this is the way I feel about Russell Wilson. He's done everything right, said everything right. If that's how he feels, piss off, dude.
Yeah. I went back and watched the Singletary play where he got stopped. If he's a half a step more patient, he walks in underneath the left guard and the left tackle. But he rushed it. And he took the lane that looked like it was there, and he almost got there.
Mm.
It was a half a split second decision from being a touchdown.
Can I just say something here? Because I have a feeling Russell Wilson is going to be a problem here down the stretch. Tommy DeVito should still be on this football team.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he should be. No, he should be. There is no reason. I'm a Joe Shane supporter. You bring in Jameis Winston, and then what, 4 days later, you sign Russell Wilson to a contract? That's ridiculous. Jameis Winston should have been the backup. Tommy DeVito should be the third string, you know, on this team this year and a chance to be the backup next year.
You know
he should be on this roster, Tommy DeVito, not Russell Wilson, so he could go to Nick games.
You're joking because you're the generational talent, and it's kind of some truth behind it, but you're not wrong.
No, it's fully not wrong because
ultimately, aren't we there?
Yeah,
Jameis Winston as the backup, Jackson Dart as the starting quarterback when he's healthy,
and Tommy could have been the third string,
and that could have been the plan all along. Mm. It's Dart, it's Winston, and there's Tommy for chuckles as your third stringer.
Or if you have to play him, you know he can ball.
That's true.
He looked really good in the preseason.
That is true.
I'm thankful he's not here because the Giants play the Packers this week. Could I go through another Tommy DeVito beats the Packers week and Lou Gowers going
nuts? But I think at this point you know that Tommy's not the future. Two years ago, people thought, including you, Sean.
Me? I never said that.
Tommy was the future.
Yeah. Give Loogie an extra 45 seconds. We'll have the clip of you crying to Tommy DeVito.
AI, bro.
Yeah. No. That can't be the new defense of everything now. Oh, that
you sound
wasn't
like
me.
Mike McDaniel.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
There you go.
Did you see the Mike McDaniel thing?
Yes.
Where he was asked about driving through the neighborhood.
Yes.
And harassing people, haters. And they asked him, you know, this is the problem with the query, with the question. The question was basically, you know, I don't know if this was AI, because someone was seen, looked like you, your car, your watch, driving through the neighborhood. You know, was that you? And he was like, oh, well, you know, and I live in that neighborhood, and AI is real.
Yeah.
And it was such a non-answer.
Now, Tiki, I love you, and the only reason I'm going to say this is because I would say the same thing to Tommy and Sean, probably in a meaner tone, but I'm going to say it anyway. We played it on our show yesterday.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Now, to be fair, I'm going to defend you. This week feels like a week from hell with Dable. So I think we've just all forgotten about
it. It was 6:05 yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We half checked.
I respect the honesty. Let's go to Dom and New Rochelle. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just want to start off on say it's an honor to talk to the greatest Giant running back of all time. Just want to get that out.
Thank
you, rocking with you your whole career since 97.
Thank you, brother.
I called you guys yesterday about Joe Shane's his draft picks and all, and I also meant his second round picks too as not being foundational players, mm-hmm. except in a couple of them. But he's also let a lot of talent walk out of this building, especially in the secondary, and Julian Love and Xavier McKinney.
Right.
And his defense, week after week, gets steamrolled. I'm not talking about their offense. They get steamrolled. They just don't have enough finishes on this defense.
Yeah, and if you think back, Dom, to that first year, that 2022 season, it was Julian Love making a stop or an interception or Xavier McKinney and one-score games winning those games. Those guys, no matter what you feel about them or now or what contract they were commanding, because safeties got really expensive in that in Zach Xavier McKinney free agent year, those guys were winning players. It's just fact. They were winning players. They made plays to win football games, and the Giants don't have enough of that this season.
No question. Ryan's in Rockland. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good, man. What's up?
So I wanted to touch on what I heard you guys talk about with Adam Schefter saying before that that Shane might stay on, and then the head coach can maybe pick, like, hand-pick his guy.
Right.
That leads me to think it has to be somebody that's a veteran head coach that's done this before, right? I mean, they're not going to have a guy that's never coached before come in and pick a general manager.
I agree with you, Ryan.
I think you're likely right, but not that it's the same scenario, but I mentioned it earlier. Aaron Glenn essentially picked Aaron Mugi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, I think the state of this team, the state of where they are in history, Jackson Dart being where he is, my best guess is it would be someone with experience. Meanwhile, yesterday I predicted Lou Anarumo, so that kind of contradicts that. But I think that as this process continues, someone with experience is probably going to have the edge. And I think back in Giant history, and I think back to Dan Reeves. He had experience. I think to Tom Coughlin. He had experience. I don't know if there's a Dan Reeves walking through that door or a Tom Coughlin walking through that door, especially when you think of what their resumes were prior to coming here. I mean, Dan Reeves coached in the Super Bowl. Tom Coughlin got to multiple AFC championship games, if memory serves correct.
McCarthy.
That's the closest.
But we're thinking about Mike McCarthy.
We are.
So if you're going to follow fully Schefter.
Well, that's the second Schefter comment, yes.
Right.
When we come back, it's our annual MLB free agency bingo. We go through the top free agencies and guess where they end up. We'll get back to your football calls as well at 888-808-1019. And Connor Hughes joins the show at 4 o'clock. The general manager meetings are taking place in Major League Baseball. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is we get to hear from Scott Boras and David Stearns and eventually Brian Cashman via Zoom. The bad news is no moves are going to be made. So if you're hoping that the free agency is going to begin in earnest, that is not the case. But the other piece of good news is this allows us today, November 12th, here at the beginning of MLB free agency, to unveil our official free agency bingo cards. We have taken the top free agents in Major League Baseball, and today, here at the onset of free agency, we are going to all predict where each guy ends up. And I've been inspired by Tiki. Tiki created a point system for Mike Kafka keeping his job. We have a point system on how you can win MLB free agency bingo. If you are correct and that person re-signs with their team, you get 1 point. If you are correct and that person goes to another team, that's 2 points.
Mm.
If you get it wrong, no harm, no foul. So ladies and gentlemen, let us begin MLB free agency bingo, and let us begin with Pete Alonso. This is the one that we were all nervous about, we're all excited about. I've got no indication from David Stearns one way or the other on what his thinking is, but I will officially predict, and again, this is a prediction, not what I want. I would like to officially predict that Pete Alonso will be a member of the Boston Red Sox in 2026. Tiki Barber.
I think Pete Alonso, God, there's so many places that could use him. Boston, obviously, the Yankees, Seattle even. I think I'm going to say he stays.
Wow, staying with the Mets.
Yep. I think the conversation that we started yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, about Stearns needing to defer to Steve Cohen on certain guys.
Right.
Pete qualifies.
To quote Joe Beningo, from your lips,
they better sign him.
To God's ears. Sean Morash, Pete Alonso.
I really wish I could have fun with this, but I think he's staying. I think he's a Met.
Tommy Lugauer!
To modify a quote from the late, great Macho Man, Pete Alonso is a Met, and he will remain a Met.
Wow, I'm the outlier. So I'm the one guy who's like, yeah, he's gone. Let's move on to Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger. I'll kick things off by saying he will remain with the New York Yankees. Tiki Barber!
It's hard for me to disagree with you. I think Cody Bellinger stays. He was too good and versatile.
Sean Morash.
Yankee.
Yankees and Tommy Lugau.
Cody Bellinger has the same real estate agent that Juan Soto has. You rent in the Bronx, you buy in Queens. Cody Bellinger will be a Met.
I knew that was coming. All right. Edwin Diaz. Easy. And it pains me to say this.
This is easy.
But Edwin Diaz is going to be a Los Angeles Dodger.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it. Because the Dodgers are going to be most aggressive adding a late-inning reliever. That is clearly what their biggest need would be. Mm. You'll hear them attach the guys like Kyle Tucker. But the truth is, their biggest need is a late-inning reliever. They failed on it last year with Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates. I think that they'll go get the best one out there. And it scares me half to death because I don't know how, as Met fans, even Yankee fans, but more so Met fans, how we are going to stomach the best closer in the sport going to the two-time defending world champions. But, yeah, I think Edwin Diaz is going to be a Los Angeles Dodger. Tiki.
Mm. I mean, that just feels like evil.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I think the Dodgers might spend their money elsewhere. I'm going to say the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow, okay.
By the way, you should get 3 points for that.
If that happens.
Sean Morash.
New York Yankees.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
No. I feel like that could become the biggest surprise here, where the Yankees come out of nowhere as one last Cashman smirking F you to the Mets.
That would be something. Imagine that bullpen.
That would be the swerve of all swerves.
Yes.
You take Soto? Take this.
And I'll admit this to you. Diaz to the Dodgers will bother me more than Diaz to the Yankees. I won't like either. I mean, honestly, right. Edwin Diaz leaving for any team would pain me. But Diaz to the Dodgers would bother me more. But all right, Sean goes Yankees. Tommy Lugau.
I think Edwin Diaz will be the first major free agent to sign. He will re-sign with the Mets.
By the way, just in case you're keeping track, which I am, Tommy has predicted all three free agents to sign with the New York Mets.
Thanks.
Just so we know. Let's go to Kyle Tucker. I think Kyle Tucker is going to end up with the Philadelphia Phillies. I do. I think the Phillies are about to make major changes over their underachieving in the postseason the last couple of years.
Is he the top free agent available, you think?
I think he
28?
Is.
28? Yeah, almost 29.
I think based on his projections, like he's projected to get a $400 million contract. So I think in terms of money,
wow,
he will end up being the biggest free agent. And the Phillies have been involved in this. I mean, this wouldn't be new for them. So I'm going to go with Kyle Tucker to the Philadelphia Phillies. Tiki Barber.
This is a hard one. I think there's one team that can pay him what he's worth. Los Angeles Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Sean Morash.
After some maneuvering with a trade of their own star, I think he's going to be a San Diego Padre.
Oh, a Padre. Ooh. That's a good one. Tommy Lugo. Trade for?
Tatis?
I think they could move Tatis. This
interesting.
Kyle Tucker will sign with the Toronto Blue Jays.
That's a good one. I like that one. That's a good one. Kyle Schwarber.
They're going to try to spend money.
Yep.
We know it.
They are, and they have had a tough time getting people to accept it, but maybe getting to the seventh game of the World Series helps a tad. Kyle Schwarber is clearly, based on everything I've said, leaving the Philadelphia Phillies. Really? I don't think they would be.
Why do you think he's leaving?
Because they're signing Kyle Tucker. I think you got to follow connections on this. And for that reason, I think he ends up being Pete Alonso's replacement. Right. I think Kyle Schwarber signs with the New York Mets. Tiki Barber.
I have him staying in Philly.
Staying with the Phillies,
right.
Okay.
If there was one thing that was continuously right about the Philadelphia Phillies, it was Kyle Schwarber.
Fair
including
guess.
Including the All-Star break.
The All-Star break?
Did he have the home runs? The home run
in the swing-off, it was Schwarber.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you remember that.
Only because of the stupid swing-off.
I barely remember that.
Yeah, Evan, you forgot me and Tiki did 4 hours on that. Yes.
Evan was in Italy.
Vacation.
I was elsewhere.
You were looking at naked women on the beach in the south of France.
Excuse me. Sean Morris, Kyle Schwarber.
After a trade of Jaren Duran, Schwarber's a Red Sox.
Back to Boston. Ooh. How about that? Tommy Lugauer.
Phillies can't afford to lose Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber stays in Philadelphia.
Alex Bregman. This one's tricky. I'm going to circle back to last year's free agency and say that Detroit is going to take that next step. They also realize they're not going to sign Tarik Skubal. So I think they're going to be aggressive to try to win right now, whether Skubal's on the team or not, because I think they'll get a massive return. So I'm going to go with Alex Bregman picking the Detroit Tigers.
This feels to me like he's going to stay. So I'm going to say Boston Red Sox.
Sean Morash.
Seattle Mariners.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Tommy Lugauer, Alex Bregman.
I'm not sure exactly how this works, but Alex Bregman feels like a Philly to me. So I'm going to say Alex Bregman to the Phillies.
That is not a bad pick at all, because I think the Phillies are going to move on from Alec Boehm at third base.
Okay.
And so it makes complete sense. Like, I think they're going to do something big. My big is Tucker, your big is Alex Bregman. I think that's a great prediction. Bo Bichette, I have staying with the Toronto Blue Jays. Tiki Barber.
Same.
Sean Morash.
I think he stays.
We're all going Blue Jays. Tommy Lugauer.
Clean sweep. He stays.
Munetaka Murakami.
Dodgers.
Where will he play?
Dodgers.
All right, I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners. I think the Mariners will make one big move.
West Coast, stay there.
I think they're going to lose Josh Naylor, and obviously they have a history dipping into the Japanese market. So I'm going to go with Munetaka Murakami to the Mariners. Sean Morash.
Angels.
Why not? Because they had success getting Ohtani.
Dodgers don't have room for now. Let me get close enough to L.A. and sit over there with those guys.
And West Coast is a preference for a lot of Japanese ballplayers. Tommy Lugauer, Munetaka Murakami.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seattle. I think Josh Naylor leaves, and that's the replacement.
Copying my idea. That's okay. Speaking of Josh Naylor, we'll include him, the last of the position players. I have him going to Cincinnati. I could see the Reds making a mini splash, but not a huge splash, and Josh Naylor would fit that, even though he would make quite a splash if he jumped in cannonball style into a pool. I'm going to go Josh Naylor to Cincinnati. Tiki Barber.
This is a hard one. I'm going to go Seattle.
Stays with the Mariners.
Yep.
Sean Morash.
Minnesota Twins.
Oh, come on.
Twins?
They're just picking?
I'm going through everybody's needs and what their budget is. I'm actually doing my homework here.
Okay.
Again, this one will get him 3 points, by the way.
Yes.
That'll get you three. Just like Edwin Diaz going to the Orioles. Tommy Lugauer, Josh Naylor.
Josh Naylor, this is my prediction. I want this to happen so badly. Josh Naylor to the Red Sox.
To the Red Sox. He looks like a Red Sox.
Oh, and the Yankee fans already hate him. Give me that.
All right, let's get to the pitchers. It was tough, like, which pitcher should we get to besides Edwin Diaz, so I picked a few. Let's go with Framber Valdez, who is considered the premier pitcher on the market. I have him going to the Chicago Cubs. Framber Valdez to the Chicago Cubs. Tiki Barber!
I think Framber Valdez goes to the Toronto Blue Jays.
They're
going to spend money.
Jays. Sean Morass for Amber Valdez.
I like that one, but I'm going to go Cubs.
Oh, he copied me. Okay. I think I know what you guys do. First you don't know an answer, just copy Evan.
Well, first of all, in typical Evan fashion, we're on our 15th guy, and you've gone first on all of them, so it's hard not to copy.
Why can't I go first?
Yeah, you're right.
I try to help you. I have Tommy Lugauer, Framber Valdez.
Framber will go to the Boston Red Sox.
To the Red Sox. Tatsuya Imai, who's considered one of the premier pitchers coming over from Japan. In fact, I think I just read Scott Boras is going to represent him, and he will be posted on November 19th. That's a Mets signing. Mm. The Mets are going to add a pitcher. I'm not sure which one they're going to add in free agency. And the track record of David Stearns is to go big game hunting for a Japanese pitcher.
Right.
So I'm going to guess that Tatsuya Imai will be a New York Met. Well, Tiki's going to say Dodgers.
You know I'm going to say Dodgers. The Los Angeles Dodgers. Creating Japan, that would be East.
Sean Morash.
San Francisco Giants.
Tommy Lugauer.
Dodgers.
Dodgers. And finally, with pitchers, I want to include Devin Williams because he's a Yankee and there's some intrigue. I'm going to go with the Giants. I think the Giants will make a move or two. He's their closer. Remember, they traded a lot of their bullpen late last year. I know the Dodgers are going to be interested, but because they signed Edwin Diaz, they're not going to sign Devin too. Devin Williams to the San Francisco Giants. Take it.
I think he stays.
Stays with the Yankees. Sean Morash.
Atlanta Braves.
Wow.
Atlanta.
And Tommy Lugauer.
Devin Williams will stay with the Yankees.
And finally, I included two pitchers in our free agency bingo because they are hotly rumored to be traded. Freddy Peralta is one of those guys. Hmm. And I heard their GM speak the other day. Matt Arnold, I think is his name.
And he's making nothing right this
year. He's making nothing, which leads me to think they're not going to trade him. Freddy Peralta remains with the Milwaukee Brewers.
I can't disagree with that.
Sean Morash.
Mets.
Mets, all right. Tommy Lugauer.
He stays in Milwaukee, Peralta.
And finally, Tarek Skubal. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that the Tigers don't really want to trade him, but they also know they're not going to be able to sign him.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's going to take a big offer. I listened to David Stearns yesterday, not just the clips we played on Evan and Tiki, but I did a Rico Bronya that you can download wherever you download your podcast. Mm-hmm. We listen to every answer. And he seemed, when talking about acquiring an ace via the trade market,
right,
we got the prospects, we're ready to go. It sounded like someone who's got all his bullets and is ready to fire them. And so I think the Tigers are going to try to balance trying to win with trading Tarek Skubal, and I think the Mets could present an offer that allows them to do that by trading the major league players that help them now while also giving them prospects of the future. Tarek Skubal is going to be a New York Met.
Mm.
That's my prediction. Tiki Barber.
I think that Tarek Skubal is going to stay with the Detroit Tigers until the trade deadline, and then he'll be a Met.
Wow. So the Tigers will struggle, make the pivot. Mets are in it. July 31st, right. Hellstorm.
Yeah, they're not going to be on their 87-90 win streak or whatever projection like they were last year, and they're going to trade him.
So I will say that, obviously, we are going to count these results as soon as people sign, but we're going to keep that as a bonus. So you could possibly win it in late July.
Nice.
If Skubal stays with the Tigers and then gets traded to the Mets. Sean Morash, Tarek Skubal.
I also think he gets moved at the trade deadline, but to the Phillies.
Oh, jeez.
That would suck.
Yeah, that would suck. And Tommy Lugauer, Tarek Skubal.
The Mets will trade for Tarek Skubal in the offseason. This offseason.
All right. There you go. That is our MLB free agency and trade bingo. And we'll see how we do. Now, unlike the NFL, where we wait till the end of NFL free agency and check in, we'll check in as soon as these guys sign.
Right.
So, because it's going to be spread out over the next 4 months.
Yeah, the last one's going to happen in January 20th.
You're being nice.
I know.
It's going to be like February. It's actually going to be like March. Like, someone on that list that we just talked about is going to sign in the month of March or late February.
That's just crazy. As a player, I know it's you got to be nervy, but... And you're going to listen to whatever your agent says, but that's just hard. That would be hard for a player.
Well, I think in football it's so different because you're learning a playbook and you're learning a system and you're learning a scheme.
Right.
In baseball,
you're meeting your teammates. You got to develop a camaraderie, all that other happy, you know what they talk about. But this feels, baseball's different. It's an individual sport, an individual team sport.
Now, one other thing before we get back to your phone calls is I was doing some reading earlier this morning, and I don't know what to do with this. Because, with all due respect, Randy Miller of NJ.com is not the most reliable. But he's a reporter, and he's been covering the team for a long time. And Randy Miller decided to unleash this little nugget about Paul Skeens. in which apparently Randy Miller talked to an unnamed Pittsburgh Pirates player.
Okay?
And that's the only reason I'm going to bring this up, because he did quote somebody. According to a 2024-2025 Pittsburgh Pirate player, so take that for what it's worth. Who that player is, I have no idea. But a player who played on the Pirates at times in 24 and 25 said this about Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes has no confidence the Pirates are ever going to win, and that he's, quote, hoping for a trade before he gets to free agency after the 2029 season. Okay, I don't think any of us are stunned by that. This unnamed player and teammate of Skenes then goes on to say, trust me, he wants to play for the Yankees. Mm. I've heard him say it multiple times.
And just for remembrance sake, it was his girlfriend, Libby Dunn, who tried to buy a co-op in New York City.
That is true.
Famously got rejected, but now has now bought one?
Yeah, I think she bought a different one.
So she lives here.
And not just any co-op, Babe Ruth's former home.
Yes, that was the one she got rejected
that's
from.
That's true.
But
that's
she now lives in New York City, allegedly.
She does. Now, the story goes on to say, a person of knowledge to the pitcher's past intentions, okay, whoever that is, I just want everyone to know the sources before we can discuss this or you can dismiss it or care about it. A person of knowledge to the pitcher's past intentions said, Paul Skenes grew up a big Angels fan. He's talked about going to the Arizona Fall League when he was 9 or 10 and getting Mike Trout's autograph there. I used to think Anaheim was where Skenes wanted to go. Now, Randy goes on, and this is why I gave him some credit, because he's doing interviews. He's giving you the info. That they spoke to a Pirates executive who said, I dismiss it, but I understand it. What we're going to focus on is just what do we do to win games with him in a Pirates uniform? So the Pirates are dismissing this. The Pirates are not trading Paul Skenes anytime soon, but it's your first little nugget on potentially what Skenes wants,
right,
which may well be the New York Yankees. Tiki, knowing all that information, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the Pirates were the fourth worst team record-wise in Major League Baseball a year ago, and do you see it getting any better anytime soon? So, of course, you're going to pine to come to New York, go to a winner. I mean, this is the Yankees, but it also could be the Mets. But ultimately, this is a deal that the Pirates have all the cards in right now.
100%, and they can trade him.
I don't know when or if this will happen, but it feels like it's inevitable, even if it's 2 years down the line.
That I think you nailed it. So Paul Skenes is a free agent in 2029. That's a very long time from now. We also don't know what the new CBA is going to look like, which is why the Pittsburgh Pirates are not trading him right now. Right. Why would you? What if by some miracle, and it's not going to happen, but by some miracle, there's a salary cap? Like, what if that's the case? It could change everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it would make no sense for the Pittsburgh Pirates to trade him right now.
Right.
But assuming there isn't a major change to the MLB CBA, he's going to be traded. It's just a matter of when. It's a matter of when do they want to cash those chips in. Here's the bad news for Sean, who's got a little smirk on his face, and every Yankee fan. I don't think Paul Skenes' wants mean anything. I don't think it matters.
Right. He doesn't have the control.
He doesn't have the control. And also, I think he's a guy who's going to get to free agency. So even if your answer is, well, he won't extend if he goes there, I don't think it matters. First of all, I think a team would trade for him even without an extension. He's that good. And I also think that even with a team like the Yankees, as much as he wants to be there, I don't think he'd extend. I think he's going to want to get to free agency and get $500 million or whatever that turns out to be. So while I think this is nice to know, and it shows that he's not afraid of New York, that he's not one of those guys who would just use the Yankees and go elsewhere, I think it would be similar to Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole wanted to be a New York Yankee. He didn't get there until he got to free agency, and he only got there because the Yankees offered him the most money.
Right.
So I think it's great information to have, but I don't think it means Paul Skenes is going to be a Yankee anytime soon. That's how I interpret it.
Okay. All right. I think that he will be a Yankee. I think that the paying him part will coincide with the fact that you're not going to be paying Gerrit Cole anymore at that point. And there's a major, major difference between Paul Skenes and all these other free agents we talked about. We're rooting for love. Because unlike these other baseball players who marry their college love or high school love, Paul Skenes' love don't need Paul Skenes' money. So if you love Livy Dunn that much and she wants New York, ultimately when free agency hits and you want to be with her, you follow Livy Dunn to New York.
Yeah,
and
but
you sign
the
that
problem
the
you're
why
running
she
into
want to
is
be
that.
In New York, by the way. Do we know why?
Well, why wouldn't you want to be in New York? It's the greatest city in the world.
By the time she gets to her mid to late 20s, in 2029, I got to think what she's doing now, the future marketing opportunities and all that stuff. I think she wants to be based there.
So I think New York is city is short term. Then you have a family.
Oh, then she comes to Westchester? Lives across the street from me?
Exactly.
Well, she's from Jersey, so she probably has a ton of family.
Oh,
she's
that makes
come
sense.
To Jersey.
I think that what you're
she could
kind
be
of
Philly.
She could. Well, I think that New York has two teams.
Mm. Queens is nice this time of year.
I think it's kind of like Juan Soto. If he gets to free agency and the Mets decide in 2030, I don't know if they will, to outbid the New York Yankees, then they would probably get him.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't grow up as a Yankee fan. Keep that in mind. He grew up as an Angels fan, so I don't think there's a fandom thing attached to it.
Look, when you want to be an all-time great pitcher and you're signing with New York, like Evan, no offense. The Mets Soto thing was great, and Boris could throw a ton of money at him. I think the Yankees would be loaded for bear once the Cole contract comes.
I do have to take issue with one thing you just said.
And the Mets.
And you're going down the wrong roll with me. Who's the greatest pitcher in New York baseball history?
Oh, that's easy. Roger Clemens.
No. Most of his career was elsewhere. Like when they pitched in New York.
You're right. Mariano Rivera.
Okay, that's a... I can't even argue that one. All right, who's the greatest starting pitcher in New York baseball history?
Tom Seaver.
It's either Tom Seaver or Christy Mathewson.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll put Christy aside. That's a Met. The Mets have a great history of starting pitchers. The Yankees' history is sluggers. Like, no offense to Ron Guidry or Whitey Ford.
Okay,
they've had plenty of good pitchers, but to bring up to be a legend, you got to be a Yankee, that's not true.
Well, how
if it
many,
was a slugger, I'd probably agree with you. Not as a pitcher.
Counterpoint, the New York Yankees are such a legendary franchise that could also spend money. In 2025, now let's play 2029. Man, there's not much room left to make your mark to be the greatest at something as a New York Yankee. To be the greatest New York Yankee starting pitcher of all time is something still open for discussion.
That's fair. I'll give you that one.
Good counter.
That's a fair counter. I don't think this changes anything. If it's true, by the way. And, you know, we gave you all the info. It's an unnamed Pirates player. That guy could be a minor leaguer who showed up in spring training. And I point that out because I don't know. Like, was that Brian Reynolds speaking? I don't have no idea. Was that a single-A player who happened to brush aside by Paul Skeens at spring training once, and technically that's a teammate because they were teammates in spring training? I have no idea. So I always leave that to you guys. You have the information. You decide if you want to believe it or not. Even if I choose to believe it, I just don't think it matters that much. I think that, A, the Pirates aren't trading him anytime soon, and, B, he doesn't have control over where he's traded.
Right, and that's the biggest thing. The Pirates have all the juice here, period.
They will trade him to the highest bidder.
Right.
And then it comes down to which package do they find more appealing.
If you took out Paul Skeens' name and inserted Mikal Bridges' name, this conversation sounds very familiar.
No. I was arrogant about Mikal Bridges. I'm not arrogant here. I'm just saying none of this matters.
Because you possessed him
in
Brooklyn.
And I could not see a scenario where he was traded to the Knicks. I'm not even saying that. I think he could be traded to the Yankees. The Yankees could offer a great package. I'm saying that the comments don't change anything. So don't interpret that as me saying he won't be a Yankee or can't be a Yankee. I'm just telling you, I don't think it changes that much. What I said about Bridges was there's no chance he'll ever be a Nick. Stop talking about him. And I was very wrong. I'm certainly not saying that about Skeens. I just don't think the comments change anything.
Also, the Mets and Yankees are on the same playing field. The Knicks and Nets are not. Sorry. I didn't mean to take a shot at you there, Evan. I know you're in a nice mood today. You went to the game. You caught a stray there. I apologize.
Well,
he's trying to make it like the Yankees are this great destination. We know the Knicks are the destination.
I don't want to get into the weeds on it because it's irrelevant, but I don't think that makes any sense either. But again, it's irrelevant. We're talking about Paul Skeens, not about the Nets trading Mikal Bridges. But thank you for bringing up something irrelevant, Sean, and then having Tommy decide, let me crap on the Nets while I'm at it.
All right. You like the Rangers or the Lightning? Tonight?
The Lightning.
All right.
Jeffrey in Waldwick. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? I love the show.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
What's up, man?
Hey, just wanted to ask you guys a quick question. I actually want to ask Tommy. Tommy, what package would you put together to bring Paul Skeens to New York if it were to happen today? What's your package?
For the Mets.
Thank you, guys.
I feel like he just wanted to ask Tommy about a package.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Enlighten him, Tommy. How big is your package for Paul Skeens?
Huge. I mean, we're talking
huge.
Massive. You know what I mean?
The most massive package you've ever seen.
I would say, you know, some are a grower, some are a shower. This is both, this one. You got to do whatever you can. If Juan Soto's mom got one suite, then Livy Dunn and the Real Housewives of the Hamptons, they get six suites. We're going all the way here with this.
Would you offer Nolan McClain?
I think you have to.
Yeah, you have to.
I think you have to.
No, I think you have to. Yeah. And I think that goes with Cam Schlittler with the Yankees.
Right.
I think that a player like this, and he's not going to be available right now.
No, that's what, are we talking right this second? Because it's different because you have Skeens under control for a couple years.
I am talking right this second while acknowledging they're not trading him right this second. So it's more of a meaningless hypothetical. But hey, it's sports talk radio. Isn't that what this is? I think he'll likely be traded in 2027, 2028. And I think that our discussion on packages will look different then. Because once Nolan McLean's been in the league for multiple years, and by the way, the control that the Pirates would have over him is less because he's now pitched in the major leagues, he'd also be less appealing. So I think that the package that will eventually get Paul Skeens to the Mets, Yankees, or anyone else is far different than the one we'd put together right now.
Right.
But I also don't think they're entertaining it right now. But how far would you go with that package?
It's a huge package. And honestly, Steve Cohen, I know he's going to bring out the big package. So I'm going to go McLean. I'm going to go Sproat. I'm going to go Alvarez. I'm going to go Peterson. I'm going to go Mr. Met. I'm going to go
Jet
Carson
Williams?
Bench. Can't trade Jet Williams.
What do you mean can't trade?
Because it's an all-time great baseball player name.
Thank you.
It's like a creative player name when you're a kid, when you're playing MLB The Show. So Jets, non-tradable. Other than Soto, Lindor.
You would trade anything.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think he's one of those guys where the Yankee fan would say the same thing.
Where is Jet playing ultimately when he makes it?
You want my guess or you want me to?
Your guess.
Second base.
Yeah.
I think he can be a super utility player, but I would probably guess, especially with the way the Mets are made up right now, he'd be the second baseman. Let's go to Michael in East Brunswick. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
We're talking 3 years he goes to free agency. There's so many things can happen. I mean, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they could put the team up for sale. Bezos could buy him. They could re-sign him. His arm could blow out, obviously not rooting for any injuries. And let's be honest, the little brother Yankees could be a dumpster fire by then anyway. So what are we really talking about here?
Well, you're right. The world could look so different when he's finally
traded. That was a resalvo back at the Yanks. I get it.
Well, I mean,
look, he's not wrong.
And with all due respect, the only salvos that were thrown was started by Sean. We were having a very fair discussion about if we even believe this man's reporting into does it mean anything? And then it turned into Sean wanted to take shots at the Mets.
Right.
Then he mistakenly brought up Mikal Bridges, so Tommy wanted to take shots at the Mets. And it became a shot-taking exercise when the truth is it's not. It's very similar to Juan Soto. Shots were never taken. I just told you, and I was right, Juan Soto being traded didn't mean anything. He was always going to go to free agency. And ultimately, I look at the business of Paul Skeens very similarly. I don't think his comments mean anything. They're not his comments, but the reported comments of someone who once bought him a bottle of water to his locker at a spring training game mean anything.
I agree.
I'm clearly giving you my opinion on who I think told Randy this.
Yeah, clearly. I have to defend my presence right here. I understand. Yeah, I'm poking fun of the Mets. But ultimately, when you have a conversation about the difference between the Yankees and Mets, let's not hurt Met fans' feelings here. The Yankees have a different allure. They do, whether you want to admit it or not.
The ultimate allure is money, though, and I thought Juan Soto teached you that.
Taught.
Players go for the top dollar,
Evan,
man.
It's taught.
What?
It's taught.
What did I say?
Teached.
Oh.
Apparently nobody teached you that.
Yeah, I think the biggest buck usually wins. And in this case, the biggest package will usually win.
Well, I think the biggest package might be winning for Livy Dunn, and that's why she'd choose the Yankees.
Inappropriate. I mean, we are a family show.
He's talking about the financial package.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
When we come back, we'll talk to the great Connor Hughes. That's a reporter I do trust. Does a wonderful job for SNY. What is he hearing about Joe Shane? What is he hearing about the Giant coaching search?
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.